Brethren, it's time to start our next meeting, and we'd like to open it with the use of hymn number 164, Brother Paul's choice of hymn number 164.
Desire, dear Father, that we might take these lessons to heart, apply them in our daily walk, take advantage while it is day. And dear Father, now we wait upon Thee and ask Thy blessing as Brother Paul addresses us, that the meditations of his heart and those words spoken will be uplifting and edifying for us all. We leave this meeting in Thy care and keeping, praying through the worthy name of Thy dear Son, Jesus.
Brother Paul has chosen for his title of his discourse, Hold Fast Thy Crown. And with that, we'll turn the podium over to Brother Paul.
Thank you. hold fast thy crown. All of you that are consecrated have a crown reserved for you. It's waiting for you, but you got to qualify for it. You could lose it. This is found in the theme text for our remarks in Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for God is faithful that promised. The apostle was writing to some in the early church who was giving evidence of wavering. They were failing to hold on. The word wavering means to become unsteady, to begin to fall, to vacillate. The vacillation was between Christianity and Judaism, and in some cases between Christianity and paganism. The word waver means to fall back, to harbor doubts or fear. The apostle was saying, unless you hold fast to the new faith, the new belief, the new commitment, you will lose it all. You don't have a guaranteed reservation for that crown. It's reserved for you. It's yours if you want it. But you have to work like anything to get it. The apostle was thinking of our work in the service as truth, in the truth as a profession. I know some of you are engineers, and some of you are business majors, and some of you are what have you. That's not your profession. That's your job-seeking effort. Your profession is to win that crown. The words of Jesus are very similar to the Apostle Paul in Revelation 3:11. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. The issue of being a crown winner is a vital one. It involves destiny. Where do you think your destiny is found? Oh, you say in Christ. Yes, I think that's a good thing. But a specific. You could fall into those who have immortal life versus just life. That's a destiny. The issue of being a crown winner is a vital one. It involves this destiny, and the issue of a lost crown will disappoint many people. You're not all going to make it. I'm sorry, I'm not trying to offend you. You're not all going to make it. The issue of a lost crown is the issue between the elect class and the great company class. Not between life and death, but between first rewards and second rewards. To be a crown achiever will be the greatest achievement of any pinnacle, anytime, anywhere, anyhow, by anyone in the history of God's creation. There is nothing to compare. Think of the greatest achievements ever executed on planet Earth. Some people say that putting a man on the moon is the greatest achievement. Not so. Receiving a crown is greater than being on the moon. Some say discovery of gravity by Isaac Newton is the greatest achievement. Not so. Receiving a crown is greater than that. Some say becoming president of the United States is the greatest achievement. Not so. Receiving the crown is greater than that. I really mean that. Think of the president. Look at Obama, how much effort he's put into it, and he made it. But when you put your effort in, you'll make it too. It'll be greater than what he did. Some say discovery of America by Columbus is the greatest achievement. Not so. Receiving a crown is greater than that. Some say president of a major corporation is the greatest achievement. Not so. Receiving a crown is greater than that. Some say the invention of aircraft by the Wright brothers is the greatest achievement. Not so. A crown is greater than that. Friends, to receive the crown from God is greater than all of these human achievements combined. Let me repeat the Revelation 3:11 text. Hold fast thy crown. What is your vision? What is your goal? Jesus is warning us. Never let it be said you weren't warned. You could lose your crown. And again, don't be offended. I'm not trying to offend you. I'm trying to tell you something important. Most of you will not make it. All you have to do is give up your 75 years of life. If I can walk around and say, I can be here, all right. I'm going to come over here. If we draw a small line like this, and call that 75 years. 75 years of your life. That's the only thing you have is your life. Don't worry about your house, about your money. You can't take it up there. They can't use your dollars up there. You're only gold people advertising gold. You can't take gold up there. There's no investments. All you can take is your life. Your new life. So if you draw life, how long is everlasting life? You stop there? Everlasting life. We're not going to stop here. We're just going to go around university. We're going to go around California. We're going to go around the earth. We're going to go around the solar system. We're going to go around the universe. Will we stop there? God says, will you give that for that? And that's destiny. Nobody can take it away, because we'll talk about that in a minute, about immortality. Friends, this is such an enormous promise. We have to state it often. Hold fast thy crown has the implication there will be crown losers. There will be millions of crown losers. They are numbered as the great company class. There will be a great disappointment to these crown losers. The scriptures say there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I didn't say that. I didn't write that in there. The Bible said that, and practically all of the apostles say that we'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth over the great rejection. It's a terrible thing to be rejected by God. Almost every parable is the expression of weeping and gnashing of teeth. Gnashing of teeth is the greatest anger to blame others for the loss. They will be blamed to the elders. Why, you brother elder, didn't help me, push me toward that crown? You know there's going to be crown losers. Don't be one of them. These brethren who will lose their crowns will be angry. Ecclesia members will blame elders. Elders will blame ecclesia members. When God announces the roll call, the crown will winners will He do by class, by married couples. If you feel strong and confident, you will wear a crown and look behind you. You will make it, but nine will not. Now that's found in Luke 17:12. Remember the 10 people that had disease. What was that disease?
Leprosy.
10 lepers They went to Jesus to heal him. They all healed. But Jesus made two things, two requests. First, go to your priest, because this is according to the law. Tell the priest that you had leprosy, but then you were miraculously cured. And secondly, he says, praise the Lord. If you take that ratio of 9 to 1, we're talking about consecrated people now, spirit-begotten people. 9 to 1. They were all healed, but only one did it right. Nine, it's a little flock. Many are called and few are chosen. That's in Luke 17:12. Many are called. Now, you know how many Christians are there in the world today? I think you're talking about 2 billion. 2 billion Christians, maybe 2.5 billion. A lot of Christians, so-called Christians. This is where they all get healed, or they all get the appreciation of Jesus. But not all of them will get the crowns. Many are called, but few are chosen. We must stop the orgy of trivia that enters our spiritual lives and engage in the critical that needs to be done. That's Matthew 22:14. There will be rejections from Matthew 25:10-12. And the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went into the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterwards, the other virgins, and we're talking about the wise, 5 wise and 5 foolish virgins, the door was shut. Afterwards, these virgins said, Lord, Lord, open up to us. And the voice was heard, I know you not. The Lord is going to say that to some of you. You don't have a guarantee. You have a guaranteed reserve. Nobody will take it. If you qualify, it's yours. Would you like to hold a seminar in San Diego on why we didn't make it? Would you like to have that? It's too late. It's too late. Now's the time you've got to think about it. I may lose that crown. I didn't say that. I'm quoting Jesus. Hold fast thy crown. You could lose it. If I might paraphrase the words of the bridegroom, it might be, sorry, I'm not interested in you as a bride. Or sorry, you didn't make it. Or sorry, your condition disqualifies you. That's why you didn't make it. You didn't make it because he hates you. He knows Paul Malley. He knows what he does. But he disqualifies Paul Malley because he didn't have the condition he wanted Paul Malley to be in. So you are being recreated. Let's talk practical. When you say you're consecrated, you know what that's saying? I want to change my nature. I want to get rid of the human nature and to put on the divine nature. And you can start that now. You will not get the power now, but you can change the nature, the principles. You should be practicing divine principles right now, because that's what will get you a crown. There are some who might say, Lord won't reject me, after all, he uses me for service to his people. I do public witness work. I go to China. I don't mean anything. I play the piano. Be careful, friends. The Lord uses a lot of people and rejected them. Moses was rejected. What a great man he was. Smart man, did great things. But he was rejected. He was not allowed to go into the promised land. Aaron was rejected. Nebuchadnezzar, Cyrus, Caesar, Nazi Germany, God even rejected Esther. When I speak of spiritual rejection, I'm not referring to loss of life or rejection, but rejection to oblivion. But I was thinking of it more of suggesting the first place promise to have the crown. Spiritual rejection refers to losing a position and glory, a special honor, but it does have some merit, some glory, and some honor. The Lord has made a gracious provision for the rejection as suggested in Revelation 7. The scriptures has many examples of first and second place honors. How many people left Egypt during the escape period? Remember that? I think the book says, and I should go to David here, he knows numbers. 600,000?
600,000 men.
600,000 men! If you assume each man had a wife, and maybe a couple of kids, statistically a family. There were 2 million people leaving Egypt to go to the Promised Land. How many people were arrived there?
About the same number.
Two. They all died off. Only two. Anyone know the names? Joshua and Caleb. And do you know Caleb was a Gentile? A converted Gentile. 2 million people, that's an estimate, but 600 is a biblical record. How many Levites were serviced in the tabernacle? 8. Ruth?
22,000.
Levites served. 8,000 Levites served in the tabernacle. Only 5 were elected to enter the holy. Am I giving you examples that the Lord doesn't accept everybody? 10,000 called to Gideon's battle. How many were elected? 300. Good dog. 10 virgins were invited. Only 5 were admitted. Look, this is scriptural. You're talking about your destiny. The great company class will not die, but they will lose out on the crown. We don't know how many. I have some theories. David is not the only one that has theories. I have theories about the number of people ever lived and the number and the great company class. What are the conditions that could bring about spiritual rejection after all? Isn't it better to examine these factors before the door is shut? The door is open now. I don't know if you feel that the door is closed. If you do, I'm in disagreement with you. I think the door is open, still open. I know thee not comes from the parable of the 10 virgins. After all, a problem of 5 foolish virgins, they ran out of oil. By all we mean the Holy Spirit. They lost their spirituality. They suffered the sickness of low-level spirituality. You know, it reminds me of a story I learned. I've often used it in my remarks, and I enjoy the major point of the story. This naturalist was walking through the forest, and he came upon a farm. And he looked at the fence around the farm, he saw there were turkeys. It was a turkey farm. And so then I've seen turkey farms in Israel. Boy, they are by the hundreds. And they're beautiful looking too. It tastes good. This naturalist looked carefully at these turkeys, and he noticed there was one turkey looked like an eagle. And he meditated on it. He said, "That's an eagle. I wonder if the farmer knows that. That eagle was eating with the turkeys, gobbling with the turkeys." So he went up to the farmer and said, "Did you know you had an eagle in your pen?" He said, "Nah, he's not an eagle, he's a turkey." "Oh no, he's an eagle. He's got the heart of an eagle. He's been given that heart. He just got caught with all the turkeys. So the man says, I'll prove it to you. Let's take him out of the pen. So he took him out of the pen, and they put him up on the arm, and he talked to the eagle. He says, eagle, eagle, thou art an eagle. Spread out thy wings and fly. The eagle turned to the left, turned to the right, saw the turkeys in the distance, gobbling away. So with one lunge, it went right to the other turkeys. And the farmer said, see, I told you, he's a turkey. No! Let's take him outside so he can't see the turkeys. They took up the bottom of a mountain. And again, they put the turkey on him. And he says, turkey, turkey, spread out thy wings and fly. And again, the turkey looked around, couldn't find the turkeys, began to shake and vibrate. What's happening to me? And he saw that. He was struggling with something. Let's go up to the top of the mountain. So he and the farmer took the turkey at the top of the mountain. He put out his wing, his turkey on his arm, and again he said, turkey, turkey, thou art a turkey. Oh, you're whipping me. Eagle, eagle, thou art an eagle. Spread out thy wings and fly. This time, the eagle looked around and saw the sun. And that sun just captivated him. And he spread out his wings way out. And the eagle then flew off and landed to the sun. End of story. You are not turkeys, you are eagles. Don't gobble with the other turkeys. You know what their destiny is on Thanksgiving Day. But what is this promise of having a crown so desirous and appealing, so attractive and alluring that most of us are ready to give our lives for it? There should be no major goal in your life. No major goal, but being an eagle and flying to the sun. But let's talk about what is this crown of life. Now we have a lot of young people, and I notice them because they're called college people. We got engineers and we got business of some sort. Well, whatever they have. I've been in the academic world for 40 years. So your goal is to get a job. Your goal is to work your profession. But you still have to die. What is your destiny from that point on? Where are you going? Are you going to the grave and that's where you're going to stay? Or do you got some plan? This is a plan. Fight for that crown. You know, heaven is a beautiful place. I can't wait to get there. I hope I qualify. And I hope I see God. That's the one thing I want to do most in my life, is see God. He's got to be the most beautiful person. I can't see him in the flesh because he said to Moses, you cannot see me and live. And Paul had experience with the divine light. It blinded him. But the first feature of the crown of life in James 1:12 and John 2:10 is the reward of life on the highest plane of existence. In the universe, no matter what kind of life is around, he says, you'll be at the highest level. Right next to God and Jesus, the divine level. Now we have a lot of levels left. You got the divine level, you got the archangels, you got the cherubims, the seraphims, the angels, the humans, the animals, the birds, the fish, the tree world. Yeah, the trees are alive. That's a form of life. Thousands of trees, plant world, moss, the molecular world. There's a lot of worlds. What world will you end up on? If you're consecrated and you do nothing, you're going to end up in the great company class. Or if you think you're going to be able to do it by just going down to the supermarket and picking up a bottle of milk, and you're going to do it. It's a crown of life, the highest level of life in the universe. Now, I could stop right at that point and tell you and start dwelling on that. The highest level, at the same level as God, will we be like a God? Like a God, yes. That's why right now you're in the business of developing that God-like character. You've got to assist that. Don't ask your husbands, your wives, your mothers or fathers. Ask yourself, are you doing things that make you godlike? If we've got time, we'll talk about that. There's a second feature to the crown. It's a crown of gold. Psalms 21, 1 to 13. These are the ones who have escaped the corruption of the world. It is the reward of divine nature which means the part of the divine family. God is creating a new family, a new species. We are being recreated. Our mothers and fathers created us with their love. That's the first creation. We are being recreated. We are being changed in that existence. God has given us the seed, and we're now going to enter a new family, the divine family, and bring about the work He has in this plan. And some of the things that we see is going to be is that you will be working to bring about the reconciliation of mankind back to God. But more than that, an unfinished universe that is awesomely complicated. 100 billion galaxies, 100 billion stars in each galaxy, 100 billion black holes. There are 10 to the 22nd stars. And the latest theory is that each star has at least one planet. One planet that will make up 10 to the 22nd planets. One star that will make up 10 to the 22nd planets. How many years will it take to fill these planets creatively in the whole universe? How many years to cover that? 10 to the 23rd powers. You know, that's one with 23 zeros. How long will it take? Eternity! That will be the work. I hope the Lord accepts me, and I hope the Lord gives me one of those planets way out nobody wants it for me to do work on it and make it better than the earth. Then there is the crown of righteousness. That's the third feature of the crown. 2 Timothy 4:8. This is the reward of a temple position as a reconciler of the world with God. These are those who are holy. You know, in our class recently, we went through about the differences between pardonable sins and unpardonable sins. And there was some controversy. What's an unpardonable sin and what is a pardonable sin? I made the statement after we finished the study. I said, play it safe. Don't sin anymore. Don't worry about pardonable or unpardonable. Just don't sin. You solve the problem. But if you keep on sinning, you know the Lord sees it. The Lord knows it. This will blow your mind. I know it blew mine. There's a powerful text in 1 John 5:16. All unrighteousness is sin. Now, I didn't say that. John said that. All unrighteousness is sin. This goes beyond the Ten Commandments and beyond principles. Being right, that's what God wants you. Being right, that's the condition you want to follow. All right, the fourth feature of the crown It's a crown of glory. 1 Peter 5:4, Romans 2:10. This is the reward of honor and majesty. It is the reward of administrative authority in Christ's government, a new home and earthly inheritance. Your life will be read by the world. I believe that there will be a library in the coming kingdom in which the biographies of the 144,000 will be printed for the world to read. Like they read the biography of the apostles and the biography of those men of God, there'll be your biography in this thing. Because they'll be raising questions. They'll say, David Rice is one of those 144,000? They're going to say, what did he do to deserve that? It'll be recorded right in there. Now, if you don't have anything to be recorded, you're not going to be in there. So make sure you have sufficient conditions that God can look at you and say, I want you in the Holy Family. The fifth and final feature of the crown in 1 Corinthians 9:25, this is the reward of immortality. Death proof. Never to die. Never can die. Nobody can put you to death, not even God. You will have life in yourself, perpetuating life. Life does not depend on anything. Immortal beings are independent of energy. It's a built-in energy like stars. Stars don't burn out normally. There are some burned out stars. But the stars have their own energy. They perpetuate. They can convert from helium to hydrogen and back again. In the future, mortal creatures will be humans, angels, and a great company class. They must be nourished because they have no self-perpetuating cycle. That's right. Angels have to eat. They have no energy in them. You will have to eat if you're in a great company class. I don't know what the spiritual food is. I know what spaghetti is. And incidentally, I'm going to miss it. That's why I eat a lot of spaghetti these days. Immortals do not eat, drink, or be nourished since they have energy within. I'm looking forward to immortality. I hope you are too. But you've got to possess that crown. Romans 2:7 encourages us to seek immortality. To them who have patience, seek glory, honor, and immortality. The immortality ones will constitute a new divine family. The immortal ones will see a whole new series of innovations. Why should the process of crown winner take so long? What could cause crowns to be lost? What could prevent us from holding fast our crowns? What could be the basis of our rejections? The first failure is failure to live up to the covenant of sacrifice. If you are consecrated to God, you are committed to a covenant of sacrifice. Now we know what covenants are. This is a serious thing. This is not just a weekend in San Diego or Los Angeles or in New York. This is not just a serious little thing. This is your destiny. This will determine people who are rejected are those who refuse to sacrifice time, money, or effort on their behalf. Half consumed is half untouched is not acceptable. As if I can take your idea. Half consumed and half sacrificed is not acceptable. Full consecration, full sacrifice, and full consumption is what is needed. Failure to present your body as a living sacrifice. Not asking you to give an ear, a hand, or an arm. You must give it all. Giving a part of our bodies is easy. What is challenging is giving all that you have while you are alive. we have learned establishing a covenant with God is a serious matter. This is serious. You and God it's a high honor to have a covenant with God. Little old you, little old me, we're nothing compared to God. Yet He's willing to commit Himself to you. It's a fantasy to think we can break our covenant and still have a crown. Brother, I just started. Look at Israel. Have we learned lessons about Israel? All right, I'll move on. Now, to leave you with is the model that you should follow. I have found 7 models in the Bible. They are the Beatitudes, Matthew 5:1-10. They are the fruits of the Spirit by the Apostle Paul, Galatians 5:21-22. The message of the churches of the Apostle John, Revelation chapters 2 and 3. The Christian virtues by Peter, 2 Peter 1:5-7. The tabernacle process by Moses, that's 1 Corinthians 1:30. The spiritual fruit of the Apostle James, and the mark of the four lots of the Apostle Paul. If we take these 7 models, you might be confronted with the idea, I don't know which one shall I follow. Make a composite model. Composite that statistically will validate every feature of the other models. So I put it on the board here, the composite model. All 7 models have love in it. It's 7 times, which then gives it the highest priority. The second. What is the second? It's 5. 5 of the models have 5. The third is 3. Truth, faith, truth, spirituality. Notice how this goes down the lowest of priorities. The highest priority is 1. These are the levels. And then this fourth one, the fourth level, purity, peacemakers, and patience. This is 4. Then we have the worker, meekness, righteousness, and that's 5. And then we have sympathizing, forgiver. These are the models, the composite model of those 5 basic ones. So you got them all. If you do this, you got them all. This is 6. Okay, brother, you're getting ready to come in. Let me just conclude on this. God had a vision over 50 billion years. You know how long it's been taking Him? As an estimate for building this divine family? It took Him 15 billion years to create the humanity that would reflect His image and likeness. 15 billion years is the estimated time when the Big Bang creation of the universe occurred. It took almost 2 failures on God's part. One at the flood. He thought it was going to be over, but he managed to save it. And one at Armageddon. That's still future. It took forgiveness, miracles, charity, and sacrifices of many, including the locusts. It took the death of every human being as a personal experience. It took the tolerance of evil, sin and pain in humans at the worst. God is doing the impossible. This is the impossible. He's changing your nature from a corrupt, sinful individual to a member of the holy family of God. Hold fast your crown. Hold the profession of your faith without wavering. Do not lose it. Many are called, but only few are chosen. Hold fast your crown. Hold the fast the profession of your faith without wavering. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Paul. We have one announcement, and that is we received a message of love from the Southwest Bible students in Scottsdale, Arizona. Individual said that they wanted to make sure that announcement was given, so I wanted to make sure that I gave that. And also, what follows next is a meal. Again, it's as it was earlier today. It's you pick up your food in the first room and then take it to the second room and find a seat there. And with that, Brother Paul has chosen hymn number 87 to close.
Thank you.
close with a word of prayer and ask blessing upon them in her name.
Our Heavenly Father, we continue to acknowledge Thee in our lives. We continue to be our God and our Savior. Heavenly Father, we love Thee. Heavenly Father, we want to do Thy will. Strengthen us. Let this convention be a source of great strength for our spirituality. We are so grateful for the many gifts that Thou hast given in our lives now. The gift of Thy Holy Spirit, the opportunity for this life, immortality, the opportunity to be a member of the Holy Family. Forgive us, Father, for the things we do wrong. Forgive us for being a turkey when we should be an eagle. Help us, Lord. Bless everyone here. Strengthen their faith. Have everybody feel that we've had the Lord here, and He has strengthened us and given us what's necessary to continue on. And now we acknowledge what the friends have done. They've supplied us with a meal, and we appreciate that, and we ask a special blessing upon the friends here in San Diego. Bless them and strengthen them through Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen.